Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to episode number 32 of the Everything Coworking Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the Global Workspace Association. In this episode, I talk with Chris Holt, co-founder of Tech Artista in St. Louis, Missouri. I have some family in St. Louis, so I have been to visit Chris's space. And one of my favorite things about the space is that he has a mini gym with CrossFit equipment in it, which I think is brilliant. And in this episode, we talk a little bit about special services and amenities that he's adding to meet his members' requests, which is really neat, and I think a trend that we're going to see. So in this episode and in our previous episode, number 31, we talk a lot about how to facilitate community in a shared workspace. So to combine those tips and share them with you in an easy format, we created a downloadable cheat sheet with a list of the tips and insights shared by our guests. So Craig Bowdy in the last episode from Creative Density in Denver, and Chris Holt from this episode. So to get that cheat sheet, get your phone out, not while driving. Ready? Text GWA 2016 to 44222, and then follow the instructions on your phone. So one more time, text GWA 2016 to 44222, and then follow the instructions. Okay, now we're going to get rolling with the interview. Enjoy. Chris, thank you so much for joining me today. I have Chris Holt, co-founder of Tech Artista in St. Louis, Missouri, and I've been fortunate enough to visit your space. I have some family in St. Louis, and it's a fantastic space. Chris, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me on.
So tell us a little bit about you and why you started Tech Artista.
Yeah, Tech Artista was actually sort of a fortunate accident in which I was actually, after graduating school, was working on a software business. My business partner and I were looking for somewhere to work because we were going to kill each other if we kept working out of our house. And we stumbled across this building. It had been built out for an architecture firm in the early 90s. So from a traditional real estate perspective, it was very hard to work with because there was a lot of typical, you know, non-leasable space, which is exactly what made it perfect for co-working. And it had been empty for a few years before we found it. And the landlords actually just said, hey, you know, if you kids want to try to make this happen, we can give you the building for free for a year and kind of grow with you. And let's try this out and see if this kind of model would work here. And now we're about a month away from our second year anniversary. And I am happy to say that things are going well and it works.
So describe the space a little bit more. So it's neat. I mean, I assume this is because there were architects in there. I mean, it's an attractive kind of offices on the perimeter, but a beautiful open space with high ceilings. But you also did some interesting things. You have a little fitness space and you have some artwork that's local. Talk about that a little bit.
You know, for the physical breakout of the space, almost all the offices kind of on the perimeter. And there's a lot of just open space in between, including a pyramid that goes all the way up through the middle of our three stories, which actually the staircases kind of spiral around, which again, even just hearing me describe that right now, is exactly the, you know, there was a kind of wonderment when we walked in. We were like, who the heck actually built a building out like this? So, and that kind of creates this open hive mentality. And then from there, we really just, you know, started filling in the offices one by one until we gained some density. And then we were able to start using some of that income to build out the sort of the next phases. And one of the first things we built out, as you mentioned, was actually our gym space inside our building, which is called the Movement Lab. And the Movement Lab was a really critical component for us because we wanted to create a space that not only was somewhere that people could work on their job, but also just a space that people could be productive, whether that was going and working out and getting your head in the right place to keep working throughout the rest of the day, or to use that as your de-stressor at the end of the day. And, you know, from there, continue to adding in some unique concepts, including massage therapist. We actually just recently built out a small little hair studio in here too.
No, that's brilliant.
We have things where people say to us like, you know, wouldn't it be cool if, and then we normally respond with, great, what do we actually need to make that happen? And we see what happens. So we've been able to really grow in some interesting ways because our membership community really dictates that growth. I mean, don't get me wrong. I will veto stuff.
Right. Yeah. That's crazy. We're not doing that.
So, you know, and it's not that it's a bad idea. It's just maybe not now. Maybe now is not the right time to do that. But we allow those kind of ideas to circulate and sort of percolate upwards from all the people just coming in and talking about all the possibilities within our space. And those ideas that actually make it up to us tend to have been vetted by enough other of our members who would either very quickly say, no, that's crap, we're not doing that. And it's nice because our members are also close enough that they can give each other pretty good, honest feedback. So we tend to hear some pretty crazy ideas, and we try to act on as many of them as we can that make sense. So one of the new things we actually just added was a makerspace and photo studio. So we just finished building that out and had our opening for it about 2 weeks ago. And so we have a massive custom-built 3D printer in there, a CNC machine, all sorts of prototyping, electronics, robotics kind of stuff. And then we also have a full photo studio in that same shared space so that you can build your products and capture them and create your marketing materials around them right in that same room. So it's really just kind of all based on the needs of people in the space. Yeah.
So you have enough use in that space from current members, or is this kind of a marketing piece for new members as well? Like, that's a big investment for...
Definitely both. You know, we had a number of members who had mentioned that they would really like to do something like this. And then we started kind of reaching out to other people that were in either some people who are in fashion, some people who are in robotics and 3D printing, some people are just photographers, videographers. And we have a pretty big community of photo video people within our space.
Okay.
Again, you know, the name Tech Artista, really, yep, these people, artists, you know, these people who kind of cross those disciplinary boundaries. And so we really quickly realized that this was something that was missing in the city of St. Louis, and sort of having a community and affordable creative space like that. Unless you're going to go buy your own studio, and not to mention buy all of the equipment that, right, you need, in addition to just having to pay for a lease on a place. You know, we decided to find something that we could do for people for a couple $100 a month. And it's basically... bring whatever you can equipment-wise, because everyone's going to share really what they have. And if you break it, you replace it. But it saves these people from a lot of sort of these barriers to entry and actually being able to elevate the caliber of the work that they're creating. But we've been able to find a lot of new members coming in because now this is something that we have that's a fixture in our space. So where we had some photographers who were in here before because they were also working on some more traditional business stuff, now there's really enough here to just satisfy your pure creatives like that. So,
yeah. What is the mix of your community? Does it sort of lean towards artists? Like, does, yeah, it sort of fit the name, or is it?
It does fit the name in the sense that we really do span everything from full tech to full art. We've got a guy in here who restores old furniture and sells it out of a shop downtown. Mm. And then we've got, you know, enterprise software developers sitting a few desks away from them. We've got a lot of people that work remotely for nonprofits or larger companies, and then a lot of single individual solopreneurs who could do really anything from either graphic designers. We have people in here who provide support services for local ministries and parishes. I mean, we have, you know, small magazine and publications in here. So it's really cross-disciplinary, and that's part of what has been so advantageous for us, because that's where ideas actually – you know, new ideas come out of when you're bumping into the person next to you and they have a completely different skill set, and you propose the problem that you're working on or whatever you're mulling over, and this person takes a completely different approach and helps you expand your framework for tackling this own problem. You know, and that's how we actually end up having companies that form out of here. So one of the things I think is really unique about our space is we've probably had 6 companies that were created because people were sitting around each other and they, you know, someone had an idea. Somebody overheard it and said, hey, tell me more about that. What are you guys doing? Oh, I'd love to help. And from there, you know, a team of 3 to 6 is put together just within people in the space who are all working on stuff, but are always kind of open and waiting for something really exciting to get them going again.
So community clearly plays a really strong role in your space in a bunch of really neat ways. How does that come about? How do you facilitate that? How do you...
Well,
how does that
beer
happen?
Helps a lot.
Right.
I mean, but yeah, we definitely do a lot of happy hours, and every co-working space does a lot of happy hours. But beyond that, I think we did something really early when we started that changed sort of the trajectory of how we filled our space. We had about 25 members at this point, and we have a 14,000 square foot building. So everybody had a lot of space, and everyone was spreading out. And we really wanted to kind of just bring in more people like the people we had found there, because our initial members, many of them are still here. So what we did is we gave all of those members an opportunity to give away a membership to somebody else that they thought would benefit from coming into the space. So overnight, we doubled our membership, and they were all people that our members who are currently already there wanted to have around them. So they automatically were pretty much, you know, vetted before we ever met them to be people that would contribute to what we were doing. And that really helped us grow pretty quickly and made it such that, you know, now any of our members, after they've been here for about a month, they all have a free month to give away whenever, really whenever they want to. I mean, we have some people that give away, you know, 5 to 10 free months in a year because we just know they keep feeding us really interesting and amazing people. So, and we give away a free week to anybody that just walks in the door and says, I'm really curious what's going on. We say, well, I can talk your ear off about this, but it's not going to really explain what we do here until you just come hang out and start to talk to people.
Do you encourage the week versus the day? Like the day trial versus the week trial?
Yeah, we do, because over the course of a Monday through a Friday, the people that are coming into the space completely change. You know, Monday morning, the space is bustling. Tuesday morning dies off a little bit because people are maybe offsite for meetings, or they worked really hard on Monday and they're like, you know, I'll work from home today. And then we have people who work. I mean, we're a 24-hour space too. We have people that work all night long who are only here from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. So we encourage them to kind of come see the space at different times and to experience that different dynamic, because you might come in during the day and it's a little chaotic and that's not the right feel for you. But what you don't realize is that is after 5, the space becomes much more quiet, much more focused, and that's also available to you then.
Besides happy hours, what other types of events do you host?
Oh, I mean, we host the sort of the normal range of events, such as, you know, we do lunch and learns where we cater lunch. We do small workshop series and educational things like that. But I think, you know, again, speaking to the community, all of that is programming that we do partially because it's expected. But I mean, it's also definitely adds value for our members, but it's not always the most exciting part of it. But what we tend to do is we will rent out our venue to people. But if our members internally want to use our venue, you know, we ask them a critical question when they come to us and say, hey, can I use the venue? Is this purely for you to promote something, or is this something that can add value to our community here? And if it adds value to our community, you don't have to pay a cent for using our venue. This is something that we want to encourage people to do that kind of thing. But if you're just launching your new product and, you know, it's not about the greater community at whole or at large and not really going to offer anything to them, then you're going to have to pay. Our rates internally are still really cheap. But just to sort of incentivize people, maybe you do have a product launch, but maybe you can work something into that that makes it more exciting for our community to partake in it. Then it's free. So we try to incentivize people to think like that.
Yep.
When you're bringing something into the space, what can that deliver to the people that are here? As opposed to just thinking, great, I get to go in there and take over and do whatever I want. Because those are also the worst venue rentals. That's when we come in and our place is trash.
Right. Because they have no sense of ownership and, commitment.
And that's also what's given our community members a really strong sense of ownership, such that, you know, we don't have to police our space. Our members call people out very quickly if they see them doing something that they shouldn't be doing in the space or are being inconsiderate. So, because everyone kind of has that feeling of, I have a stake in this space here because it provides me with something that's so important. So,
what role do your members play in building community besides suggesting hair salons? Kind of, do they sort of self-organize, or
like half of our members get their hair cut in that salon now?
So no,
this guy's business is booming. So.
That would be my dream come true. And a manicurist.
Oh yeah. We're just a start. You know, long-term we're looking at actually trying to expand to more space. So we can have bigger venues to do those kinds of experiments. But, you know, beyond really helping us grow and scale our community, there's just a lot of our members who actually hang out together. You know, we find a lot of people that are transplants to St. Louis. Maybe they come here for work. They didn't go to school here. I know you know this, but I didn't grow up in St. Louis. I came here for school and then stuck around afterwards to start this business. And that has given me a really strong network here. But for a lot of people that come in after that, without that, St. Louis is a bit of a circles run pretty tightly in this city. So we bring in a lot of transplants to our space who are coming not only looking for a place to work, but are looking for somebody to show them around the city. And that kind of creates more groups of friends within our space than I think happened in a lot of other spaces, partially because people are young, they're looking for things to do. Our members are always posting like, hey, this thing's going on tonight, and sort of rallying a crew from our space internally to go out and do that. So that's a huge part of it, is just that our members have fun together and they tend to go out together. It's also kind of why we have these little like infamous crews that wander around the neighborhood that people are like, oh, those are the tech artists. That's just a gag.
I would think for the city, it's a really neat resource because you stayed and there are other people who may be staying because they have people that make them feel at home, which is a big deal for cities like St. Louis.
Absolutely. I mean, when we started this, we really pushed to have a positive impact on the talent retention in the city, because there are a lot of great opportunities in the city, but being sort of one of the second tier cities, there are also a lot of major issues. But if you're able to overcome the sorts of issues that you run into in these towns, like, you know, yes, there might not be 10 options going on in one evening. There might be two, you know, and there might not be where you might have 10 improv shows to go to in New York one evening. You might only have one here. But if you want to actually go create another one, you can do that here really, really easily, because those kinds of people, the gatekeepers of making those sorts of things happen, they're accessible in a city like this. So we try to promote retaining people in this city by connecting them to these major gatekeepers so that they can help build what it is that they're looking for in the city.
So talk a little bit about the neighborhood that your space is in and kind of how it's evolved since you've opened.
Yeah, we're in the Central West End in St. Louis, and the Central West End has had an interesting history. I mean, 20 years ago, there was a Saks Fifth Avenue right in this neighborhood, and it was sort of one of the upper neighborhoods in the actual city of St. Louis. St. Louis is a major split between the city and the county. We're just Forest Park, being one of the biggest parks in the country, is right next to my neighborhood. And on the other side of that is the county line, where things kind of start spreading out and you get into major sprawl. But this neighborhood specifically has a very cosmopolitan feel and has density. And it was the only real neighborhood I was looking to live in after college, because I live right around the corner from my business. I can bike to my grocery store. I can walk 100 yards from my house and go to any number of the 10 bars that are, you know, on the streets near me, and restaurants and nightlife. So there's a lot going on here that definitely makes it a desirable place to live. But while it's also fun and very accessible, it does have a sort of a very professional feel to it, you know, a polished neighborhood. It's got a lot of historic character and all of the homes and everything. So that's one of the other things too that has attracted this young professional audience to us, in the sense that it's an affordable neighborhood, but it's affordable and accessible for people, you know, in their early to mid 20s, but it does give you the feeling of kind of what you're shooting for, that you're a little closer to that polished, completely transitioned out of college adult lifestyle that you're working towards. So it kind of was the perfect place for us. And we have like 4 art galleries right around the corner from us. And it was actually named a few years ago one of the top 20 like neighborhoods for the arts in the country or something like that. And, you know, we've been significantly involved in this neighborhood. We moved in here, we joined the neighborhood board and everything like that, and started getting plugged in, which has been very helpful for us as the co-working space, because we have a lot of resources that we can provide to the neighborhood, because I know a guy in here who's got those skill sets that they're looking for, or that someone in the neighborhood is asking about. So we've been able to kind of plug ourselves into a few key like switchboard positions, such that we can offer the advantages of our co-working space to our community at large. So we will host some events for the neighborhood association here and just kind of trying to plug ourselves in and be a key resource for the neighborhood.
Yeah, I think you're such a great example of internal community and external community, and how that can, those two together can create such a great situation. And I think it's also neat when you're talking about living in a smaller city and the impact that you can have when you have a space like yours that's helping to make those connections. To your point, if you want to get something done, sometimes it's easier in a smaller city and you can have more of an impact because there are fewer people, which I think is really, really neat. And the potential for community bonds can be stronger because you run into each other more often and there's more sort of, you know, density in that small area.
I literally can't walk down the main street in our neighborhood without seeing 10 of my members walking on the streets, you know, which is nice. It also means sometimes I can't escape.
Right, totally. There's no no hiding.
They all know where my house is too, so I really can't hide. But it's all right because, you know, like I said, people within our space really have a lot of ownership. And if something goes wrong, you know, unless they need to call me, they'll just handle it on their own.
Good culture to have. So you mentioned the last time we talked and then right before our call, you gave me a little preview. So you mentioned that you have a member, the coffee roaster, that you're starting a coffee kiosk in the space. Talk about that.
So one of our members had been working on a nonprofit for a very long time, which she provided clean water in Latin America. As a nonprofit that relied solely on donations, she continued to struggle and fight for her salary every year when really all she wanted to do was just, it was really all about doing good for her, you know, being able to have as much of an impact as she could in these communities that she cared about. So in an attempt to find a more reliable funding source, she came up with the idea of doing a coffee roasting company in which 10% of the profits of the coffee sold go back to Origin and go to vetted nonprofits to really help those people at Origin with, you know, clean water, giving them better access to whatever it is, medicine, anything like that. And so she started this coffee company and we helped her kickstart about $10,000 out of our space to build out this cart. So we're now creating in the front of our space where there was a desk. And more often than not, if you come in, you'd see my beautiful face smiling. Now we're going to replace that actually with a full coffee bar and barista setup. But we're also making this a public coffee shop because our neighborhood actually, you know, we've got a Starbucks, of course, and we've got one or two other small coffee shops here. But there's really no high-end, high-quality coffee, you know, artisan coffee. And so we're looking to recreate that here. But in addition to providing the product of the high-quality coffee, there's also a big aspect that you can feel good about with it because every time you buy that coffee, some of that money is going back. It's similar to, you know, the sort of one-for-one model with Tom. And actually what we're working on right now is larger partnerships with bigger roasters, such as we're in talks with Caldi's and a couple other people, which are larger companies out of St. Louis, where they will do a partnering roast with us and we'll help deliver those funds and administrate the impact from those funds and then give back to Caldi's or, you know, or any of the other roasters a report of all of the good that their customers buying that coffee has done so that they can use that as a differentiator because, you know, at the end of the day, really high-end coffee is, at a certain point, it's all really good. So looking for other ways to help these companies differentiate while really, at the same time, advancing the true mission of that, which is doing as much good as we can and getting as much resources back to these communities that support, you know, a massive industry within our country. So we're really excited to get that up and running. First of all, I'm very excited not to have to be brewing as much coffee
totally.
As I used to because it never stops. But, you know, the most exciting part about it is really that in addition to being able to provide more amenities to our members, there is a really good intention behind this product, which is why we were so eager to support it. And it's actually one of the first companies that we're really helping incubate ourselves within the space in a much more hands-on way.
It's a great story. It's warm fuzzies and it's neat. So many of the things you've talked about.
Try the coffee.
Yeah. Right. I'll have to next time I'm in St. Louis. I'm going to come work and drink all your coffee.
Definitely.
You know, your stories are just so about what co-working stands for, being a part of the community and you know, member-driven initiatives like the hair salon and the makerspace and now the coffee cart. It's great. You have some really neat things
In some ways, it's about... You know, there's definitely a desire when you create something like this that you want to control the experience for people. But for us, we've found a lot more success when we let go of that control or at least loosen the grip because we can't come up with all the best ideas.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point because it's right. Sometimes people go at this, right, sort of with this vision of what the perfect space is. And you'd never get the hair salon out of that. And you'd never get the makerspace and the,
It's crazy. Don't get me wrong. I totally agree. It is crazy to have a hair salon in here, but it does kind of just work.
Yep. Well, I think it's part of a bigger trend though. I think you said a couple of things just in passing, which is people want more services at work and to make it easier. And just, you know, it also just kind of makes you more a part of the community when you're doing more life stuff, you know, with people that you work with. That's kind of a neat relationship. And then I think, you know, you have a 14,000 square foot space and you're talking about kind of bigger spaces allowing you to do more of these things. And I think that's absolutely something we'll start to see more of. Not in all cases, but people experimenting with that. So, okay. Well, what advice you've come at this community thing really naturally, but for somebody just starting a space or looking to focus more on community in their space, what advice would you give them?
I think, of course, it depends on the situation, but I think in a lot of times, if someone's really looking to ramp up their community in their space, before looking outward, they really should just look internally, because odds are you've got a lot of people within the space that have a lot to give, or that know people that have a lot to give. And before you start trying to scramble to find something completely new, just look to what you already have, because I think you'll find a lot of unique ways to activate that potential that's already there. These people are already invested in your community. They're already there every day. And start asking them questions. You know, ask them what they want. What would really completely finish this experience for you? What would make the space perfect? So that's definitely the biggest thing that when we realized, instead of just trying to keep pushing ideas out there, we just needed to let them come to us and sort of soak them in. I think we found a lot more interesting opportunities that we wouldn't have seen otherwise. So
great. Thank you for sharing your perspective. So if people want to learn more about you and Tech Artista, where can they find you online?
Oh, you can check us out at techartista.org. It's techartista.org. And or, you know, check us out on Facebook. We do love to post on Instagram too. So especially with having a lot of artwork in here, it makes it a little easier. We just go up to work that other artists have created and then Instagram it.
Like perfect.
So yeah, you can find us on the web though.
And we'll post links to the space and some of the notes from our conversation with Chris on the website, everythingcoworking.com. And Chris will be episode number 32. So everythingcoworking.com/32 if you want more details from our conversation. Chris, thank you so much for your perspective and insights and for sharing your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on, Jamie.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.